Good morning! Hosanna! Boys and girls, come on up here. Hosanna to the highest heavens. Good morning. Well, on Fifth Sunday here at Hillcrest, we cancel our regular elementary Sunday school time. And today, since our preschoolers got to come in waving the palms, we're keeping them in big church. That's what you're all called, your big church. Not that we're little church, but you're just big church. And we cancel our Sunday school programming. You know what, honeys? I have more room over here. Come right to my feet if you want. And we do that so that they can take part in our big church. And on Fifth Sundays at Hillcrest, we do baptisms, we do communion, we do our worship and praise time, and then I bring the message for this morning. And we do that so that these kiddos get to see their grown-ups in church. We do this so that they can take part in communion. We do this so they can see adults and children take part in the waters of baptism. Because a child needs to experience through all of their senses. They need to see it, hear it, feel it. And they can't do that if they're upstairs with me all 52 Sundays of the year. So we decided a couple years ago that there was a big value in just being able to cancel and be a part of Sunday morning service. And then they also get to congratulate. And we got to pray over the kiddos that made the decision for baptism last Sunday. They came forward. They got to kind of practice telling their testimony to my 75 plus elementary kids. And then they get to kind of take that fun ownership and get to see their buddies get baptized. And then that also allows them to get the twinge in their heart that we hope everybody has when we see baptism and communion. That we see baptism as an opportunity that they can make that profession of faith publicly. That we see communion as an opportunity to pray for the forgivenesses that we need and that we can take Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So that's why we do this whole group experience together. Now, unlike Pastor Doug and Pastor Brian, they often don't like have a backdrop and a costume. But Miss Tarina doesn't roll like that. So if she's going to bring the message, she brings it in costume. So if you have just met me today, this truly is how I roll. So there just really shouldn't be no surprises with that. Now, this Sunday, even though it landed on a fifth Sunday, actually lands on a church holiday to us, and it's called what? Oh, wow. Try again. Are you, might be a little confused because your mom probably did what I did today, and they said, you have to be fancy for bells, but next week is Easter, what are you going to wear? Like, do we buy you two outfits? It's not Easter, so don't go home expecting your egg hunt yet. Palm Sunday, thank you. Whew. Because what did we come in doing this morning? Waving palms. I remember a long time ago, somebody kind of made up the funny thing about this is the palm of our hand. So if you don't have a palm leaf, we can all wave our palms. God gave us our own palms, right? So I wanted to go back to thinking about what did Palm Sunday mean to me when I was a kid? Because I was a kid once. I was a kid who sat in all these services every year. It kind of meant spring. Palm Sunday definitely meant that a week away and I was going to have an egg hunt or something fun. It was a holiday. Maybe relatives were coming. And then I remember feeling very confused, like, okay, here I am Sunday praising. So what's the big word we use for praise on Palm Sunday? When I shook my tambourine, I said, Hosanna. So everybody say, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
In the highest heavens.
In the highest heavens.
Now, it's kind of hard to say that without smiling, right? Like, we're happy. Hosanna. Hosanna's a wonderful way. But then I know in 5 short days, we're going to come and the church is going to be dark. And there's going to be a cross, and we're going to be in a state of mourning as we think about what it was like for him to die on the cross. And then maybe the next day you come and join me for the egg hunt, and we're cheery, and I might be dressed up again. Surprise, surprise, there might be a costume Saturday. And then Sunday we come, and it's Easter. And Easter feels totally different, right? Your mom and dad make you dress a little more handsome, a little more beautifully. You probably take pictures. And that all happens in 1 week. And I was feeling very confused as a kid, like, how do we praise him one day, then mourn him, and then celebrate a death? So I really want you to learn about Palm Sunday today. So I start with a question. What do our bodies look like if we have a question? Put your hands up. You're wondering something. What is Palm Sunday? Can you ask me that?
What is Palm Sunday?
Okay, here's our first slide. What is Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday is when we want to remember that Jesus was going into Jerusalem before he would suffer and die for us. And they called it something. What did they give Jesus? A special parade. Now, as a kid, what do you think about when you think of a parade? Candy? What else? Fire trucks? They're so very loud when they come down.
Cops?
Okay. Floats? Did you have another one? Yeah, that is a bad memory of our parade last week. Mm-hmm. More candy. Big crowds. So there's floats and music. Do you see bands? Does it have a happiness to it? Parades, yes. Now in Sioux Falls, we have the Parade of Lights, which happens at Christmas, and those floats are filled with Christmas lights that twinkle. You've been there. If you know that you've been to this parade, you put your finger on your nose because you know what I'm talking about. The Parade of Lights at Christmas. We love to go to the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I know there's a parade on the 4th of July. I have not been to that one yet. Sometimes your schools might have parades just to do something in your school or in your building, but it's always very happy and peppy, right? They called Jesus entering Jerusalem a parade. And it's not unlike any parade that we would have been to. In this parade, I wondered, how do they know that they're going to celebrate this king that they're going to call him? And he came in riding on a what? On a donkey. So then I had to do some research. And I know that the people in the New Testament, so we're going to look at the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we should tell our grown-ups, in the month of March, every year, we stop all of our singing, and what do we learn? The what? The books of the Bible. So we know that the New Testament starts with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And much like when you look at the Christmas story, it's filled with all these different accounts of baby Jesus being born. The same happens with the Easter story and with Palm Sunday. So we want to look back, if you can give me my next slide. And it's the Old Testament prophecies. It's another word like it was foretold to them. So pretend we're in the New Testament. We're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are living this day with Jesus. I wanted to know, how on earth did they know that Jesus was going to come in on a donkey and get ready to celebrate him? Because they don't have memos. They don't have an email. They couldn't have an invitation list. But they were studying the Bible. They had the Old Testament. So open up your Bibles in your imaginative land. And they had read in the Old Testament that this king was going to come. No, thank you, honey. This king was going to come. And they interpreted these scriptures in many, many different ways. And I can't wait to tell you about what Jesus really was thinking when they were looking back. But if we look back in Psalms 118:26, it says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you." Now, you really have to look at these words because this is how people knew what to say when this parade came in the New Testament. And my favorite is Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey." Right there, what does it tell you? This person's entering and he's riding on a what? So somebody who read the Old Testament, somebody who believes in God and the foretelling of these prophecies automatically goes, what? That must be who? That must be Jesus. Now I'm going to get a little teachery on you a minute. Can you hand me that board? When teachers show you lots of different information that you kind of have to start to organize your thoughts with, do they make you organize your thoughts on a Venn diagram? Mm-hmm. Their heads are shaking. When's the last time you worked with a Venn diagram, moms and dads? It's been a long time, right? Well, teachers don't count. Now, I teach 4 and 5-year-olds, so we use hula hoops in early childhood, and we still organize our thoughts. So I made you a Venn diagram, and I color-coded it, which normally I'd make a joke about poor Pastor Doug, who can't see my colors, but I'll pass that one. Did I not pass it? So I just want you to peek at how I organize my thoughts. I was really curious to what they said in Matthew, friends, what they said in Matthew, what they said in Mark, what they said in Luke, and what they said in John. So I gave you these four colors. And you can do more study, and this is going to be on your sheet, and your grown-ups can kind of discover this with you throughout the week. But just on this parade, this king coming into Jerusalem, it's Matthew 21:1-9. This one specifically says that it's spoken to the prophet, "Hosanna to the son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So that matches the verse 5 of the daughter Zion, "See your king on your donkey." Did that foretell from the Old Testament? Then you go into Mark. This is Mark 11:1-10. Theirs were similar to the Old Testament, that it had colt that no one else had ever ridden. So it was a brand new, fresh little donkey. Nobody had ridden this colt. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest heaven." Are they similar but different? They still are shouting the word Hosanna. In Luke 19:29-38, same colt that you see in Mark, and they say, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And then we go to John 12:12-15. This was a festival to praise is what they called that in John. And in Matthew, they both say that Hosanna, and they both quote the Old Testament of Zechariah, blessed is the King of Israel. So I wondered on some of these words. Some shouted Hosanna, some said the prophet, some said the daughter of Zion, the daughter Zion. They talked about the donkey, some said colt. So they're all very similar and yet a little bit what?
Different,
yes. So there was always two disciples who had to go get the donkey. We talked about the prophet in all four. They referred back to the Old Testament. The colt was the donkey. There was a parade, and everybody put down their coats, their palms, and they all shouted. I found that very fascinating that there are four different accounts. And if we looked, when we looked at the Christmas story, we saw similar and different accounts with that one too. So the big idea of the day, if I can have my next slide, is that Jesus was arriving in Jerusalem, and he had an outpouring of this like enthusiastic public support. So show me your support. Here comes Jesus. Yes! Yes! And you know why they were so supportive? This was their long-awaited Savior, the Deliverer. They had heard about how this Jesus, who walked the same ground we walk, he was able to take Lazarus from death to life. He did miracles right in front of people. They recognized him as the king that he came from David's lineage. He was going to be their earthly king and deliverer. Now, we know what's coming in a couple days. Is he the earthly king that they were waiting for? Did he stay on earth? Where did he go?
Heaven.
He went to heaven. So then this is when it got a little bit sad when you read these in the Gospels. They wanted him to save them from the Roman oppressions. So if you were the Roman soldiers and their way they were dictating, get really angry. Be a Roman soldier. They were oppressing people, and they couldn't love anybody else but their own authority, and so they just get a very angry face. And they hoped that this Jesus was going to lift them from that earthly burden of the Roman Empire. Their passions and their emotions were very high this day. They were ready for the parade. They were ready to be saved from him. And you know what happened to Jesus? He wept. He cried. On his own parade, Jesus cried. He saw excitement and enthusiasm from the crowd, which we would be excited at a parade, right? But he cried because he knew what they were thinking he was coming to do. What they were feeling in his presence was not what God had sent him to earth to do. And he knew that he knew that these same people were going to reject God. So he cried, and he was sad. And we know that later on he went to pray and to weep and to really pour his heart out to God after this event. Our key verse is Matthew 21:9. So I want you to look at it with me, and we're going to say it together. But hear from me first. So we are the crowds that went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted. So my turn, your turn. Hosanna to the Son of David! Shouted.
Hosanna to the Son of David!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest heavens.
Hosanna.
So I just thought it was fascinating. How do they know to say these things? And it's because they had studied their Old Testament. Now over here, you're going to say this question to me, and this group's going to answer it. Are you ready? You guys. Who is this guy? Shout it.
Who is this guy?
Ready? And you're going to say, he must be from Nazareth.
He must be from Nazareth.
And then this group, they laid down their coats. Pretend to lay down your coats. And your palms. And you're making a very royal entrance. And you say, we're going to honor the king. And then you guys are very calm and quiet and respectful in anticipation. And you're going to say, we need to pray for our sins.
We need to pray for our sins.
To change people's hearts. So some people didn't know who he was. Others knew exactly who he was. Others really wanted to honor him like the earthly king. Here's our sign for king. Can you do this with your hand? A couple years ago, I taught you that king song. They were honoring him like a king who should have a crown on his head. I have a crown on my head. Jesus went from being honored and praised to wearing a crown of what?
Thorns.
Thorns. They mocked him in just a few short days. They changed from a crown to a crown of thorns to mock him. And others knew that he was coming to save us all. And they were very respectful and peaceful and calm. And lastly, I wanted to tell you that he chose a donkey for a very specific reason. Now, I don't know my animals well, But when you look at a donkey, they are described as being very gentle and very, I think it's funny that they do define them this way, humble. I don't know how donkeys can be humble. They're animals. But they are gentle animals. And remember, on one of the passages, it talks about the colt that no one had ridden. So he picked a very calm animal that wasn't going to be a lot of distraction. Like a big, glorious horse might buck or gallop or take away from the parade and be very royal himself, a horse would be. But a donkey was lowly and gentle. Now, what do you know about the Christmas story? Who else rode a donkey? Yes, isn't that fascinating? So here he rode, and here's a picture of a donkey for you. So when Jesus came in riding on a donkey, and there's the colt, he was lowly and gentle, and it represents that Jesus was being humble that day. He didn't ask for the praise. He did not ask for the parade. He wasn't even comfortable being the center of that day's attention because he already knew what was coming. But he was living out what God had asked him to do that day and throughout that week. He didn't come in proud. He didn't brag about his miracles. Did you hear about the raising of Lazarus? Yes, I did that. He didn't do those things. He didn't say, did you see how I fed 5,000 people and it was a miracle, left one loaf of bread and one fish? He didn't do that. He didn't make himself look more important. He didn't ride a fancy horse in a fancy chariot. He chose to arrive quietly and gently, but it showed great strength. Jesus is God's son, and he is our king. Can you say that? Jesus is our king. And because he lives with us forever, we get to be with Jesus someday in heaven. And I'm certainly glad that we can shout Hosanna and praise his name today, that we get to mourn the death and really be in touch with the sacrifice and the physical pain he endured on our behalf, and that we get to praise his name because he rose from the dead on Sunday. And because of that act, we get to be with him in heaven someday, and we don't have to live in fear. So I'm so grateful that we get to put our palms down and we get to treat him like the heavenly king that he is. May he be the king of your hearts and your hearts today, and may we think about that as we bring in this Easter week. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you and praise you for your scriptures. I thank you that we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we get to hear directly from your voice. Lord, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that works within us. And I thank you for this one week that we set aside to really think about what happened to you and what you did for us on our behalf. We're so grateful for your miracles. We're so grateful that you live in our hearts and in our lives, that you are as real and present today as you were then. Lord, when we think of a donkey, when we think of you, maybe we take your humble, peaceful, quiet presence and spirit and put that into our busy days and in our busy lives, that we could hear more clearly from you. Lord, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father and our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.